From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is, wait, don't tell me, the NPR News Quiz. This New Year's Eve, count to 10 and watch the bill drop. That's me, Bill Curtis. And here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you, everybody. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's, the holiday perineum. You've opened all the presents, you've drunk all the eggnog, and now you're waiting to be invited to a New Year's Eve party.
Sorry, Peter, we just don't have the space for a lot of people this year. It's mostly just family, you understand, right?
Whatever your plans, we promise to keep you entertained with a fresh batch of wait favorites and some clips we've never put in the air before. But first, we have this much-beloved interview with the most handsome man on television, John Hamm.
John joined us in September at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles, along with Jesse Klein, Maz Jobrani, and Alonzo Bowden. Peter asked him about his time on The Dating Game.
I believe it was called The Big Date.
Oh, excuse me. And what's amazing is not so much that you did that show, because, you know, struggling actors do what they can, but that the woman didn't pick you.
No, she did not. Nor should she have.
Really?
It was bad. You can see it online, or you can watch the episode of Kimmy Schmidt where they weave it in as part of the plot. 25-year-old me saying yes when I maybe should have said no.
Yeah.
But you got paid $250 to go make an ass of yourself on a dating show, and I was like, done and done. Who's ever going to see this? It's on USA. No one's going to invent a thing where everything is saved and can be distributed globally instantaneously. That's never going to happen. This will burn into the ether. And I'll have $250.
So I want to talk about a fairly sensitive topic, and I'll introduce it by saying that we at Wait have had our share of really impressive people. We had Leonard Nimoy once wandering on backstage, but I have never seen our own sort of staff and colleagues freak out by anybody's presence as much as you. Knees literally began to go weak and tremble.
Oh, jeez. I thought you weren't going to tell anyone, Peter.
So I'm just going to ask you, what's it like to be that handsome?
God, there's literally no way to answer this question without coming off like a horrible douche. Look, I don't, you know, my mom thought I was handsome. That's kind of all you really need in the world.
Oh, great. Now you're charming, too. Come on. We don't have hair. Look at you.
That's terrible. I'll ask you about something else that you are, and it was obvious, which is that you're really funny. I'm told that, like, you like doing comedy roles. I mean, it seemed to me that, you know, once Mad Men came to an end, a very serious drama, you showed up in Kimmy Schmidt. I kept seeing you doing goofy things.
Yeah, well, I got, again, incredibly fortunate to be asked to host SNL the first time in 2009, I think.
Yeah, for example.
You guys might not have, it stands for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But I had been a fan since I was a kid. So for me, I was literally like, this is a dream come true. I can't believe I get to do this. And I knew a few of the people on the cast. Jesse, you weren't on there by that point.
I was there. I had a very undistinguished season writing there for one season. But the week you were hosting, obviously everyone very like nervous and excited. You were there. And Tuesday night is the writing night. And all the writers stay up all night long writing. And the host, if they're very cool, stays and comes and chats with you about what you're going to write for them if you need to talk to them. But you had a full beard on Monday night when you showed up, and then by Tuesday night you had shaved it for the show. And I was like, I want to like have like light banter with John Hamm to bond. And so I was like, oh, how was it shaving your beard? I was like, my boyfriend, when he shaves his beard, stops in the middle of the shave and does like silly pictures of himself with like a mustache and like does a few phases in between. And then I was like, why did I mention my boyfriend John Hamm? And also that was so stupid. What a dumb story to tell him. Like, and then you took out your phone and showed me the pictures of your silly mustache that you had done while you were shaving. I was like, oh, John Hamm, what a winner of a man. We broke up, by the way. Me and that boyfriend aren't together anymore. I'm married, but we have like an arrangement. He doesn't know yet, but we have an arrangement.
Well, John Hamm, we are delighted to talk to you, but we have, in fact, asked you here to play a game we're calling
Hamm Meet Spam.
Okay.
It was obvious, but we're kind of lazy. John Hamm, we're going to ask you about Spam, the delicious pork product. Answer two out of three questions about that great canned meat. Win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of their choice in their voicemail. Bill, who is John Hamm playing for?
Lauren Bullock of Santa Ana, California.
You ready for this?
All right, Lauren.
Here we go. First question. Spam has played an important role in history since its invention during the Depression. For example, Spam has been credited with which of these? A, creating the modern vegetarian movement. B, growing the mold that became penicillin. Or C, the Russian victory over Nazi Germany in World War II.
I do like the idea of people eating Spam and being like, nope, that's it, no more meat, ever. I'm done, I got it. That's it, that's a wrap on meat for me forever, if in fact that was meat. I'll say C.
You're right, it was C.
Oh.
After the war, Nikita Khrushchev himself declared, without Spam, we wouldn't have been able to feed our army. So there you go. All right, you have two more questions. There have been many different kinds of Spam over the years, including which of these special Spams? A kosher Spam for the Israeli army. B, a high-end millionaire's Spam made with caviar. Or C, Spam for dogs made because dogs will not eat the human version.
There seem to be a lot of confident Jews in the crowd here.
Very uncommon.
I know.
loud.
For some reason, yes, the idea of kosher Spam, I feel like I've seen that can.
You're going to choose that?
Yes.
All right, okay. You're choosing that.
Choosing A.
You're right, yes, kosher Spam. Israeli Army. It was known as loof and made from kosher beef. All right, this you can be. I was about to say you can be perfect, but you already are.
Oh my God!
So
stop.
You can be more perfect.
Stop.
If you get this question right. As food preferences has shifted towards more natural, unprocessed food, the Hormel company, which makes it, has had to come up with new ways of selling their canned meat with a shelf life of eternity. So, which of these is a real slogan Hormel used to get people to keep buying Spam? Was it A, because that bunker won't stock itself? B, it's like meat with a pause button? Or C, extruded means extra tasty?
As a fictional advertising executive, those are all terrible.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with B as the least terrible.
My God, you're right. That was their slogan, next, like meat with a pause button. Bill, how did John Hamm do in our quiz?
3-0. He is great.
That's fantastic. John Hamm stars in the upcoming film Bad Times at the El Royale in theaters October 12th, and you can see him on Good Omens on Amazon Prime. John Hamm, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.